We've been reporting this morning the Morrison government is committing $11 million in funding to boost aerial firefighting across the country. The announcement comes after the government sustained repeated attacks this week over its alleged inaction while hundreds of bushfires continue to burn across the East Coast. Former Fire and Rescue New South Wales Commissioner Greg Mullins has welcomed the announcement but says more does need to be done.
You know, I retired in 2017 as Commissioner of Fire and Rescue New South Wales, and I was part of that planning. But the facts were, you weren't allowed to talk about climate change. And I won't go into some details about some of the business cases that had to be altered because they mentioned climate change. But that's fact.
Former Fire and Rescue New South Wales Commissioner Greg Mullins, speaking to Breakfast a short time ago. Senator Matt Canavan is the Minister for Resources and for Northern Australia. He joins us from Katherine this morning in the Top End, where he's attending the Ministerial Forum on Northern Development. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Hamish. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Before we get to the fires, you're expecting to sign an accord between the federal government and Western Australia today, the Northern Territory and Queensland as well, on greater Indigenous participation in Northern development. In substance, what does this mean?
Well, this formalises some arrangements we've had for a couple of years now with a bunch of Indigenous representatives, broadly called the Indigenous Reference Group, to advise Northern Australian ministers on how we can best make sure Indigenous people will benefit from our Northern Development Agenda. There's already been great progress made under the agenda. We've, in the last year, financed through the Northern Australian Infrastructure Facility, our nation's first Indigenous-owned iron ore mine. I think it's a fantastic development where Indigenous people are owning a mine themselves, running a business, obviously employing their people as well. And there's also been some investments at Uluru to upgrade the airport there involving the Indigenous-owned resort there. So, look, it's moving forward well, but this just formalises now and makes sure that we'll have ongoing interaction directly with Indigenous people, and there's a voice at the table there.
I'm interested to hear your thoughts on how this fund is working. Last month, you announced a review into the $5 billion Northern Australia Infrastructure Facility. Submissions close, as I understand it, tomorrow. It's only committed, though, $1.4 billion in investment, and it's got, I think, a year and a half left to finalise its investment decisions. So that's a lot of money remaining in it. Has it not really lived up to expectation?
Well, it's good news this week, Hamish. It's actually up to $2 billion, or just under $2 billion now. We've made two more announcements in the Northern Territory while I've been here this week. And so the progress has been pretty good over the last 18 months. So, look, it did get off to a slow start. And
why is that?
Because, there were some issues with it that we fixed. I'm happy to go through them. We put some restrictions on how the money could be allocated, how much finance could be provided, for example, only 50% of the debt. That was to try and protect the taxpayers' interest. This has been a new and innovative way to try and finance infrastructure. We're partnering with the private sector and leveraging government funds. And so 18 months ago, we had a quick look at that and thought, well, look, some of those restrictions have been more problems than they've solved. And so we changed those. And in 18 months, that $2 billion of investments have been made. So it's good progress. Now, of course, we can try and improve further. The review I've announced at the moment is a statutory review. The NAIF is set to sunset in mid-2021. So obviously have to look at what we do beyond that. I'll be talking with state and territory ministers today about their thoughts on going forward, what we can do going forward. But it has made a real difference to things like that Indigenous-owned mine, projects like a new technology centre at James Cook University of Great. And this week we announced a new port, a new shiplift facility at the Darwin Port. That's going to build a huge marine services business here in Northern Territory, saving a lot of money for ships having to go around to Fremantle, as they currently do for service.
Okay, let's move to the bushfires. You heard Greg Mullins there in the introduction. Does the government have a long-term plan for more bushfires in a warmer climate?
No, look, of course we don't. I mean, Blind Freddy can see we've got high bushfire risk in this country. I'm more than happy for people to and evidence to be provided about what the situation is with potential climate change risks, and there is a potential, obviously, for those risks to increase. What I'm much more focused on, though, doing is mitigating the risks that we already clearly have and that might get worse in the future. That's what the focus should be on. And what I get concerned about is particularly state governments who are constantly using this sort of bogeyman of climate change to distract from their manifest failures to manage our own land, and particularly the fuel load on that land. I had a fire start just around from my house the other day, and nothing has been done for years to manage the fuel load there, even though we all know it's built up after a cyclone a few years ago. And instead, the Queensland government taking powers off farmers, taking their rights off them to be able to manage their own land, put in fire breaks, do cool burns, and that has exposed us to much, much higher risk than we should.
Let me play some audio from Matt Keane, the New South Wales Environment Minister, on this program yesterday, speaking to the very issues you've just referred to.
Let's be honest about this. These fires have not just started. They've been going for weeks and weeks. And I, as the Environment Minister in New South Wales, am not going to wait till the end of summer to start having a meaningful conversation about what we've got to do to address this issue. I'm the Environment Minister. I intend to deal with it in a responsible way, and that conversation needs to start now.
He says we need to reduce our carbon emissions immediately. We need to adapt our practices to deal with this kind of weather becoming the new normal. Do you agree?
Well, I do agree we should be reducing carbon emissions. What I don't agree with is that doing so in Australia would significantly or at all reduce bushfire risk. And I do want to pick Matt up, because I'm happy to take more science and evidence, but only a few years ago in 2015, his own department provided a report or delivered reports proudly on the New South Wales website still. And a direct quote from that report, Hamish, says, "There is considerable uncertainty concerning the impacts of climate change on bushfire risk." Now, it's a very detailed report and goes through lots of different impacts and go different ways. I've got an open mind about it, but it's not helped, I don't think, when seemingly ministers, as I say, distract from the real issues that face people on the ground and are potentially over-exaggerating the science, because that's his own science for his own department. And I'm happy to see other evidence, but that hasn't been provided to me at this stage.
So do you accept that there is a link between the bushfires that we're seeing now and climate change?
Well, I don't think you can at all at this stage link individual events to particular outcomes. So I do, you know, think that we must look at what the changes to our climate are occurring and how that might need to respond in terms of, or how it might need to respond in terms of managing those risks. I mean, the IPCC last year, Hamish, in their special report, said that there's little or no information about climate change and bushfire risk in regards to Australia. It did conclude, though, overall across the globe, there was that increased risk. So that's something, obviously, we should be mindful of. But, you know, we should also just focus on as much as possible in trying to save people's properties and lives now. We have that in our power to do that. And if there is an increased risk, we should be doing more cool burns. We should be doing more, cutting more fire breaks. Instead, state governments are often making it harder for farmers to do those things and or pulling back themselves from doing the public management they should be doing on state forests and land that they manage.
I mean, you're talking about the science that you've seen. Your own colleague, Susan Lee, the Federal Environment Minister, says this: the dryness of the vegetation, particularly in the north of New South Wales, and the reduced stream flow is creating unprecedented conditions. That's what climate science has told me, and I completely agree with it.
Well, obviously, I completely accept about the climate change is leading to warmer temperatures. That's why we're going to try and reduce emissions. As I say, I just think we've got to be careful before we jump to conclusions about individual events. We should do what we can that's in our power to save people's lives and property.
But people that are actually fighting these fires say that those dry conditions are creating this tinderbox environment and that clearly that tinderbox environment is what's leading to the scale of these bushfires. Do you disagree with that?
I mean, but that raises the question, Hamish. I mean, what do you do in response, right? That's what I'm focused on, because pragmatic politician, I like to try and solve problems.
But hang on, it's just you're saying you can't link climate change to individual events.
No, I didn't say that at all. All I'm saying is that as I've just quoted from New South Wales government scientists, there's still work going on.
Minister, you did. Just a few moments ago, you said that you don't think you can link any particular event to climate change.
Yeah, so there's a distinction, Hamish, between individual events and broad trends, of course, because, I mean, the problem here, of course, is the fires have not started due to climate change, right? They've started because of some silly people who have done stupid things. That's how the fire around the corner from my house started, or allegedly started. Investigations are ongoing. They've started through lightning strikes, as often they do in rural areas. And then, of course, there's a whole lot of other contributing factors, including fuel load and the overall climate. And so this sort of attempt to try and link an event to one cause is simply, clearly, manifestly wrong. There's a whole variety of things that play into a fire being created. But on a pragmatic level, you know, what is in our power as governments to control the most is how we mitigate that risk and respond to it when it arises. So that's why the government, the federal government, has announced additional funding for aerial firefighting crews, because that will help us respond to fires, whatever the causes are. It'll help us respond to those. That's a pragmatic thing we can do. And I would hope that in light of these devastating fires we've seen this year and last year in my part of the world in central Queensland, that state governments would do reflect and do more to empower landowners to manage their own land and reduce risk.
Matt Canavan, thank you very much.
Thanks, Hamish. Have a good day.
That's the Minister for Resources and Northern Australia, Matt Canavan.